The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. And I do have to do a quick apology to those who wanted to tune in last night. We lost internet really quickly, just right before the show started. So we were able to broadcast to everybody who was listening over the air. But for those of you watching on the internet, unfortunately, that wasn't going to happen. And then we had a problem with the audio file, but all that got sorted out. And it is currently up both on AM 950 AM website as well as ghostboxradio.com. You can go and listen to last night's episode with Pamela Pierce. We're talking about the legend of Boggy Creek. And she gave some very interesting information that's kind of breaking news in the Boggy Creek community, if you will. And I definitely think you should go check it out if that's the sort of thing that you really enjoy. It's a great film, and I think that it was a great interview. So please check it out if you can. Driving in, I was just talking to my guest, Cheryl, driving in, and it's raining, which that's not a big deal. It's November, but it's also lightning. Anybody in the Twin Cities seeing lightning out there tonight? That's really interesting. I enjoy that a lot. It's very purifying, isn't it? That rain is very purifying tonight, and I just thought it was, wow, we still get lightning in November. I'll take it. I love that sort of thing. So if you're in the Minneapolis area and you've been seeing lightning, let me know. I think it's really exciting. It's been a good night, actually. I mean, lightning aside and everything, it's nice to have good nights once in a while. I know that sounds silly, but you got to really enjoy them when they come up, and a real pleasant night. I even played Yahtzee tonight. I haven't played Yahtzee perhaps ever in my life. And it was like clearly that showed when I played it. But that was fine, too. The Yahtzee was great. There were some other activities that were even more fun that were had that night. It was a great evening, and you just got to enjoy those. Something else I've been enjoying, and that is there's so much good stuff out there, good books and whatnot, and I was really excited to reach out to my guest, Sherilyn Carter. She had written, I thought it was new. This is actually a book that's been out for about a couple years now. It's called Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. We've had Cheryl on a couple months ago. What an amazing conversation that was. And right away I wanted to make sure if she was available to be able to bring her on and talk about this book and, quite frankly, any book that she has to offer. It's always amazing. Cheryl, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Welcome back. Yeah. You're talking about thunder. I remember when I lived in Duluth, we'd have a big snowstorm and there'd be lightning and thunder.
You lived in Duluth?
Yeah.
Duluth, Minnesota?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Duluth, no. Which one is it?
Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right on Lake Superior.
Yeah, I didn't know you lived in Minnesota.
Long time ago, yeah. I remember it got so cold, there was a ship coming in, and it got froze, and it couldn't get to shore, it couldn't get back out.
Wow.
And the helicopters were dropping food down to the guys. Yeah, fun time.
I believe it. I mean, that place, and the hills, the roads with the hills in Duluth, I mean, driving that in the winter, I've never had to, but I
lived on top of the hill. I didn't go downtown in the winter.
Yeah.
Anyway, I drive in that hill.
So, we're gonna talk about your book in a second here, but up in Duluth, did you, I mean, a couple places, now you said it was a long time ago, so it was before like NOPIMing was available for to investigate, which is outside of Duluth. But then you had the Glen Sheen Mansion, and you also have now up there that they have for investigating is the Irvin, the ship. And I've been to two of them. I've investigated two of them, and it's great. I love Duluth, but like you said, I wouldn't. I have friends who live up in Duluth, and that is great. But I really have a hard enough time driving around in the cities when it's winter, let alone going up to Duluth.
Too much snow. I remember when we first moved there, it was October,
mm-hmm.
and it snowed 12 inches. I said, what? Okay, so they cleared it up. You know, poor kids couldn't trick or treat. You know, it was messed up. So then a week later, it starts snowing again as I'm going to work. And I get to work, and I was working the night shift, and mm-hmm. one of the women says, well, if they let us go home, I'm going home. And I said, I just got here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm from Illinois. I'm not afraid of some snow, right? And it kept snowing and snowing, and she goes, it's a whiteout. I go, yeah. I didn't know what a whiteout was. Oh, yeah. So that's when we had to walk from our parking lot across the parking lot where they would pick us up in trucks and take us home because our cars were buried. And it was lightning and thundering during this blizzard. I couldn't believe it. I go, it was?
Now, can I ask you, was that in 1991?
I don't remember.
And the reason why I ask is because at least down here in 1991, we had just a massive, massive, massive snowstorm on Halloween. I mean, it just was feet of snow and just dumped at once. And so it snowed here in the Twin Cities right around Halloween. And right away people were like, please, please, no, not again. And it wasn't, but it was truly like it might be for us, at least down here, a once in a lifetime experience. It was really just incredible.
After the second storm, they closed the town down for a day so they could clean the roads off because, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere.
No, no. And then you run into the question of, like, what do you do with all this snow that you're collecting? You know, it has to go somewhere, and you can't just melt it or something. And
They piled it up in parking lots. That's what they did.
Yeah, yeah. It was bad. Then there was another, and this isn't a snow hour. I'm just kind of getting through that, you know, there was also about maybe 7-8 years ago, there was not like all at once, but over the course of the winter, it was snowing, snowing, snowing. And it was just like, I work downtown Minneapolis where, you know, it has sidewalks and stuff. Different sidewalks were closed because they just stopped clearing them. They had trucks, like dump trucks, where they filled the snow and they would line the center of the street with snow. And then you'd have to one side of the street would be cars going one way, the other would be going the other. It was just they didn't know what to do with it. It was so much snow. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, the lights flickering in here. Maybe some spirits telling me that there's more snow coming. I don't know.
Oh no. Not yet.
Now I had the I was going off the assumption because you had posted about it. A month ago or something that Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. was a new book, but it's not a new book. It's been around since 2021. What is the book about, Cheryl?
Well, everybody's heard about the Bermuda Triangle, and I said, there's gotta be more around, and I picked actually 10 of them that are in the United States, and I'm sure there's a lot more, but I just picked 10 of them.
Now, there is, going through it, what I love about the book is that it's within each location that you're talking about, and the one that I've really enjoyed reading, I can read, is Bennington, and that's chapter 2. And there are multiple experiences that you're drawing from to be able to do everything that telling the story about this place, I mean, that had to have been a lot of research.
I just loved it, and I kept getting into it and getting into it. And then something that I kind of noticed, which I wasn't even trying to do this when I was writing the book, one thing that they all have in common is UFOs.
Yes, exactly. And what do you think that's about? I mean, why? I mean, is that just a commentary, Cheryl, that they are much more ingrained in our society than most of us even begin to give them credit for?
Oh, I think so too. Yeah. And is there special energy in these areas that attracts them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Well, and even like you're reading through the book, and a lot of the area when you start talking about these areas, they start with. People get a weird feeling from this area. People mm-hmm. are, and it's, you know, and I'm sure that there's people who are listening and they're not in these, you know, maybe have never visited these triangles, but, the idea of that you go to places, you get a weird feeling that it just stays with you. So, you know, and, the thing that I find interesting, you know, when I think of like something, when I think of triangles, I go directly like Bermuda Triangle, like you said. And I feel like, I don't know what's going on there either, but I feel like there's something more tangible to me when we're talking about the triangles that are on land.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody says, oh, Bermuda Triangle, all these missing ships and boats. But actually, the Lake Michigan Triangle has more missing ships and people and planes than the Bermuda Triangle.
The Lake
Michigan Triangle.
That is interesting. And you got to wonder, I mean, why do you think, like with all things media, They glom on to one thing and they don't ever really talk about anything other than that. Why do you think that is?
I think there's just not research.
Yeah.
Because now they're getting into the Alaska Triangle. How long ago did you just start hearing about the Alaska Triangle?
Right. Exactly. And it didn't start when we started hearing about it. You know, it's been around for
exactly. A long so I mean, time. They just need to do more research and find all this cool stuff that they're missing. You know,
why? This might be a really silly question, but why is it always why we call them triangles? Why? I mean, and I understand we're really talking like a feel an area that gives us a triangular sort of space.
Like most of them are triangular shape, but some of them are even squares. That I've mm-hmm. noticed, they're not exactly triangles. I don't know why they say that. I guess they just say that to give you some kind of a visual.
Yeah.
So somebody can go, okay, it's these three cities. This is where it lines up, you know.
Right, and it kind of is. I think that's also a good way when people hear about like a land mass, and I mean that even mm-hmm. for Bermuda, and we're calling it a triangle. That you know we're going to immediately think of Bermuda Triangle. So it kind of gives us the idea of like. Oh, well, this is in the same sort of vein as that. So it kind of helps you understand what's being talked about, too.
So like the Bennington Triangle is not really a triangle. That one's more like a square shape.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound as cool calling it the Bennington Square.
Square, yeah.
So. Yeah. No, it's all, you know, even back then, it's all the marketing, Cheryl. It's always, you know, the getting the great, the flashy name and stuff. So, and then there was something, you know, something else that we were talking about, because I had brought up to you about the Hudson Valley Triangle, which we don't really know. I don't know a ton of it apart from the Discovery Plus special. But as you said, you know, it's like you just picked 10 to go into mm-hmm. the book. Is there a lot, like, obviously there's more, but is there like a lot more, do you think?
Well, I bet there are. I bet each state has their own little area.
Wow.
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. I mean, but there's, once again, it just goes to show there's weird stuff everywhere. There's stuff that we can't explain happening everywhere. And it's a matter of, It's also a matter of people talking to each other in the community too, isn't it?
Right. Because you'll know something weird's going on, but you don't want to tell somebody because they'll think you're strange, and they're thinking the same thing you're thinking.
Absolutely. I mean, it's incredible, and it's a really shame. I mean, it's better now, but it's still pretty bad in terms of people not wanting to share their experiences because they're afraid of even as simple as being laughed at.
Mm-hmm. And it still happens that people laugh at you. Even as, you know, paranormal has become such a big deal now, and yet there's still people that will laugh at you if you talk about something. That's why I like being a MUFON member, because you can come to our meetings and we talk about everything, not just flying saucers. We'll talk about anything strange.
Yeah.
And you can come to our meetings and nobody judges you. Nobody laughs at you. They want to hear your stories. And I like that.
Because that's how we learn.
Yeah.
And that's how we grow. And, you know, I've had a pretty good run doing this where I talk about, and I'm very open about being a, you know, a paranormal investigator, that I do the show and stuff. And there, I have to admit, there was a time, I think within the last few months, that I had mentioned it to someone and they kind of scoffed at me. And I have to admit, I kind of took a step back, like, because I wasn't used to that. And it was like, wow, okay, that's very closed-minded. You know, it's always surprises me when, you know, and this, I'm not equating it to this, but it surprises me when you have people who think that they're the, well, that we're the only intelligent life in the universe. And that just is, makes no sense whatsoever.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Look at all these ancient sites and stuff. There's another subject.
Oh,
all these
gosh.
Ancient sites, you know, who built them, you know?
Absolutely. Nope. Absolutely. Cheryl, why don't we go ahead and do this? We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we have so much to talk about. We're going to talk more about her book, Dimensions, as well as a whole lot of things. We got quite the guest with us tonight, and we're going to take advantage of it. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. You know, it's kind of strange, actually, because normally at this time I'd be telling you about an event I have coming up or something like that, and actually I don't have anything at the moment. Halloween is over. Time to put me away and, you know, take out Mariah Carey to sing All I Want for Christmas Is You. I mean, it's just really, I feel kind of empty a little bit, to be very honest. There isn't really anything going on. But I will say, while I have everyone here, we're starting our next paranormal class, Char and myself. It actually starts on this coming Monday, the 13th, and it runs for 6 weeks. It's a very comprehensive class. Basically, it just talks about the metaphysical and the paranormal. It's you know, you don't get a certificate when you're done saying you're a paranormal investigator, but we do help you understand what to do in certain situations without, you know, you need to be in a team for it or anything else. But it's a really good class. We've had probably, oh my goodness, we've had, I don't know, 40 some people go through it now or something. We're on our 11th run, and it's really good. If you want to find out more about it, check it out at charvinity.com. Events, go to page, go to the events section. And the class is there. 6 weeks, you do not have to be in Minnesota or in person to take it. I'm excited. We have Cheryl Lynn Carter with us today. We're talking about her book, which I absolutely am enjoying. It's called Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. You know, and Cheryl, you said right before the break, talking about ancient civilizations, ancient buildings. And, you know, if you don't mind me saying so, I was very jealous of a photo that you had posted this week about you visiting going to see Ancient Aliens live, that they came through. Mm-hmm. Were they in your area, or did you have to, like, go really far to get to them?
I had to drive 2 hours.
That's not so bad.
No,
that's, they're worth it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Yeah, that was probably my highlight of the year. I kid you not.
I don't I don't blame it. I mean, I'm disappointed to hear the two times you've been on the show wasn't the highlight, but that's okay. I could work with that. But in all seriousness,
I got to shake Giorgio's hand.
That's cool. And
I didn't get to touch his hair though, but you know, but
you have to pay extra for that. We were talking before the show started. They're all very, very nice, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Very.
That's great. I mean, you know, I still love watching. I mean, I love really watching the earlier ones. And if anyone has Hulu, definitely they have pretty much all the seasons on Hulu. And I watch them quite a bit. And we'll get back to your stuff in a second. What are your favorite type of episodes of Ancient Aliens that you really enjoy when they come around to that a certain type of subject?
When they go to the ancient sites and they don't know who built these things because of the way the stones fit so perfectly that you can't slip a piece of paper through them.
No. And
then, or they're built way high up on a mountain. Where how did they get these big stones up there? Those are the things I love.
There are some, right, that I've seen where they've talked about that, and they said that the mathematics of doing it is so precise that you would think that it was a laser that cut that stone out of mountains.
And they said some of these things they can't even do today.
No. The ones that I really like there's a couple that focus on aliens in the U.S. One of my favorite was Ancient Aliens and the Founding Fathers. And that's a really good one. I love those type of historic, which is, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's actually very recent history, really, when you think about it. But it's very interesting to me. And also, like, there was one on the Ark of the Covenant. That's
always a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are I love those mysteries of religion versus what could have happened with outside interaction, I guess. Now we are talking, and this book is available on Amazon. And also, Cheryl, if you're fine with it, I put it on my website, ghostboxradio.com, with the Amazon link there. If anyone would like to purchase her book, please check it. Please consider going through my site to get it, because we get a little kickback going through us. We're doing the affiliate program over there. We'd make probably 10 cents off of it, you know.
Oh, wow.
in 2 million years, I can retire. The book is called Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. Is there a favorite location that you wrote about in this book that really sticks out to you of like just overall what you've learned?
I thought you wanted to talk about your favorite Bennington Triangle.
Well, we can talk about all.
We can start there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in 1999, this group of filmmakers went out and they made a real low budget film, and they called it the Blair Witch Project. I'm sure everybody's heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I still love that movie, even though some people don't.
Yeah.
And it was about people that got lost in the woods. They saw strange lights. They heard crazy sounds. They went insane. They disappeared. That can't really happen, right? It was just a movie. Well, there's a place in the Bennington Triangle, which is located in Vermont, and it's in Glastonbury, and there's an area. It's a nature trail, and it's called the Long Trail. And in 5 years, from 1945 to 1950, people started disappearing as they were going down the trail. It was just a regular hiking trail.
Yeah.
The first person that disappeared was Mitty Rivers, and he was actually a trail guide. He was a trail guide for years there.
So he knew what he was doing.
He was leading some people down the trail, and all of a sudden, they couldn't find him. He was just gone. The next year, Paula Weldon was a college student, and she had walked the trail all the time, too. She went for a walk down the trail, and there were two people behind her. They saw her up ahead, and she went around a bend, and when they came around a bend, she wasn't there, and they never found her. And then James Tedford was a soldier. He was just getting out of the army, and the bus stopped, and he was going to go take the trail for a little while. He disappeared. And then there was the next year, a little boy named Paul Jepson. His family actually had a farm nearby, and he kept saying, I need to go into the woods. So something's calling me. His father's going, no, don't play in the woods. Well, one day he went out in the woods, and they never found him. Mm. And the last one is Frida Langer, and she was camping with four friends, and the two women were walking along the water, and she kind of fell, and she, I'm going to go back and change my clothes, and I'll meet you guys. And she was lost too. And it's all around the same spot on this long trail. Do they walk into another dimension and get lost?
Right. Like,
that's what I'm wondering.
Just so happens, like, they go through, like, a doorway or something.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking happens.
Except the boy, though, the small child, possibly could have been beckoned.
True.
I wonder. I mean, but there's, you know, all sorts of, like, you know, all sorts of questions that come around after that. Has anyone, to your knowledge, done, like, a thorough, like, walkthrough or search of that? I mean, obviously they must have. If they, all these people are lost, that someone is trying to find them.
Oh, yeah, they had search parties out looking for these people, but they never found anything.
Completely without a trace.
Right.
Do you, you know,
in that same spot? Yeah. And then it stopped after the 5 years. It just stopped.
So there hasn't been anything in a long time.
No, it was the 5 years and it stopped.
So, you know, and not to throw a narrative on it or anything, but it certainly gives the impression, like you said, aliens, and, like, you know, it, like, some sort of project for them to get a number of specimens, if you will, and do something with it, have a reason for it, do something with them.
Mm-hmm. And here you had all different kinds of people. So, yeah, you had several different specimens.
So Cheryl, knowing this and knowing these places, are you wanting to go? Have you been to any of them yourself?
Well, and I used to live in Illinois, and I never knew at the time that we had a triangle in Illinois, or I would have been there. And then I'm researching, there's actually two triangles in Illinois. So the one is called the Little Egypt Triangle, which is, it's the tip of Illinois. And all the, I remember noticing all the towns around there had Egyptian names, like all these areas that were around the Nile in the Bible. And I guess that's why they called it Little Egypt.
Right.
And another thing that's down there, it's a civilization called Cahokia Mounds. And I did go down there. You saw my pictures in the book. I love Cahokia Mounds.
Yeah.
And it was the largest civilization north of Mexico.
Hmm. Wow.
And it used to have, at one time, they estimated there was, the civilization had like 400 mounds. These are burial mounds. And I think there's only like 140 left. But as I'm driving into this little town, you'll see there's one behind a little one behind the gas station. There's one behind that house. So there's still mounds all over town, but they've made a national park out of what's left. But just the energy there is just amazing. It feels different.
Well, yeah. Now, what did they do with the mounds? Because there's so many of them. Did they just, like, dig them up? I mean,
well, it's like a farming community, so farmers probably just, you know, plowed them down. And
wow.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Which makes you wonder then what happened to, I mean, because there's in the burial grounds, there's going to be bodies, right? I mean, that's the purpose of it. And you kind of wonder what happened to the, to all the bodies then.
Well, not just bodies, because the ones that they have now that they've used the ground penetrating radar. Some of them they've dug into them a little. And there's all kinds of pottery and jewelry and stuff.
Sure. So a lot of antiquities, a lot of cultural antiquities are probably been destroyed or kept.
Or scavengers, you know, they're selling them, and who knows?
Who knows? That's unfortunate.
The stuff I've seen in their museum, it would be worth a lot of money.
Right. Yeah, there's probably that. And it's just really a shame, too, especially, you know, not maybe it's not. But I mean, it just feels like that so much of that stuff back early on, so much of that stuff might have been seen without people really understand the historical value of things and just go ahead and we'll, you know, take it and either steal it or just destroy it because it's in their way. They don't find value in it. And that's one of those things that's just really a real crime. That's just a shame.
Well, and they don't understand. This is somebody's grave.
Well, that.
These mounds were somebody's grave.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just really, it's crazy. And I mean, could you imagine if all those still existed, how amazing that would look?
I just what I saw was so amazing. The tallest one is called Monk's Mound, and it's about as tall as a 4-story building.
Wow.
And they actually put steps on there. You can walk all the way up to the top.
That's cool.
So I walked all the way up to the top. Wasn't too bad. And when I was to the top, I looked over to my right, and I could see the St. Louis Arch. I was that high up in the air.
Oh, wow.
And there were cars driving by, and they looked like ants. I kid you not. I was way up there.
Wow. Wow. How?
And if you go in the middle of the mound, there you can feel there's a vortex that goes all the way through it.
That was my next question. I mean, not necessarily about the vortex, but about energy, going and feeling the energy. Feeling the vortex, do you think that's all the mounds would have been that way, or do you think it's just that one?
I don't know. I didn't get to stand on top of another one. I don't know.
Well, you need
the other ones are even as tall as that one, because that was somebody really important in that one, you know.
Sure. Well, I'll need you to go back and now climb the other ones so that we know, so you can report.
You're not
back
allowed to climb the other ones.
do it at night. No one will know.
At night.
We'll helicopter you in. The show has a budget. It doesn't. I'm just kidding. It got me to laugh on that one.
But you did feel the energy as you walked around to each one, though.
Got it. So
they all had energy to them.
Yeah.
That whole little city there.
It's interesting too about you know, the, and once again, whether or not, you know, you're getting alien influence in there, if you're getting, you know, like they helped, or they, you know, anything, or just was even seen around that area. I mean, it's just, that's the thing. And I feel like that's what we keep coming back to, is that there seems to be such a better understanding of alien then, meaning just in past history, than now. And it seems like that, you know, there is something that kind of turned history into modern history. And whenever that happened, a lot of stuff had been thrown out, including any sort of memory or anything about any sort of alien influence that we might have had.
Right, because I think people they used to say, I wonder where this happened. You know, did someone from another place come here? And then you became modern and go, no, we invented this. And you just let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just imagine, you know, for what we consider at the dawn of time for us, stuff like the pyramids in Egypt were already old by that point. You know, there's been more history probably forgotten than actually recorded, probably.
Well, and there was a time when they didn't have a language.
Right.
And this is how we don't know who built different things or why. Or...
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Cheryl, why don't we go ahead? Let's go ahead, take our second break. When we come back, if anyone has any questions for Cheryl, please put them in the comments section. Could talk about anything. We're going to talk about aliens. We're going to talk about ancient aliens, all sorts of good things. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio, AM 950. Join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to have on Char Savoy of Charvinity and Metamorphosis Connections. You may have also remember her from such radio programs as this one. She has been on a number of times talking about different wonderful subjects, but also she's guest hosted for me. It's going to be great to have her on. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about bridging the gap between metaphysical and paranormal, and it sounds such a weird and simple thing. But it seems to be not from anywhere that we're coming from with this, but it seems to be much more difficult than it should be. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow. And then, of course, Thursday, we're going to have Jeff Mudgett on. Jeff knows a ton about H.H. Holmes. It's going to actually be our first true crime episode here. So I'm really excited, at least since we've gone nightly. And then, of course, Friday is Casual Friday. So lots to look forward to, including my guest today. I have on with me, and how exciting to have on Sherilyn Carter. We've been talking about all sorts of things. Don't forget her book, Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S., is available on Amazon. Please support and pick up the book. I mean, this is what I love about these books. Cheryl, is this self-published or do you have a publisher?
Self-published.
This is what I love. These are extremely good books. They're well written, and that they cover an area that needs to be talked about, and you're doing it amongst others as well. But this is really good, and this is information that you don't really find in a lot of other places, at least curated, if you will. Mm-hmm. This is really cool. Congratulations on doing these books.
Thanks. I start getting into this stuff and I can't stop.
No. Now, when we talked last time, the book that we were talking about last time, you were told to write it. It came to you. How about with this book? Is this just like one of those things where you're just like, I just want to find out about it?
This is weird. Somebody wanted me to be on their podcast. Mm. And I says, this is when I'm before the book. And I says, well, what should we talk about? I don't know. And I says, I don't know. How about mysterious triangles in the U.S.? And so I look stuff up. I just looked up the names. Mm-hmm. I says, okay, here, I'll take five. You take five, you know, check it out and we'll see what we want to talk about. Well, I did all this research and I never got on the podcast. So the heck with you, I'm going to write a book. So.
Well, their loss is our gain. Wow. That's funny. I mean, did you were just going through and you're like, you know what? I this is really interesting. I'm going to write more about it. You could probably do another volume, couldn't you?
Or says I just, you know, I just had some stuff and I said, so I'm going to research this more. What the heck?
Yeah, no, I mean, that seems to be seems to work really well. I mean, you know, like you said, you get into this stuff and you can't stop. I mean, because you've
right.
how many books have you written now?
Eight.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah,
that's a lot of books. Now, I mean, and I think most of it, too, I mean, You know how to write. You know how to do this stuff. I mean, it has to be kind of fun. And I look at it this with a show, in a sense, my show in the same way. It's like, for you, it has to be a little bit like, what do I want to write about this time, right? I mean, it's like, you could just be like, I could do anything. What do I want to write about this time?
Well, because I also write, I have a column in a newspaper, you know, so I got to do that every month too. So
what you're doing in the newspaper?
Fine. For Paranormal Underground magazine, I have my own column there, the Carter Files. You do.
Okay, that's right. I knew that. I forgot already.
Most of that's turning into UFO stories.
UFO is paranormal.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I. Yeah, I started out with, you know, the other things, but it's probably the last year it's just turned into UFO stories.
What is currently interesting you when it comes to UFOs? Because I think that we all go through, like, you know, we love certain things, but then there's subsets of it that, at least speaking for myself, like, really interests me. Like, for example, for my UFO stuff, something that's been really interesting me lately is doing a CE5 experiment. So that's where I'm at. For you, is there anything that's, like, really interesting you lately about UFOs?
So I've done CE5 many times. That is interesting.
What are you using for, like, generating tones? Or are you doing it a different way?
We use singing bowls sometimes.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Oh, yeah. And we're usually by a soccer field, and there's woods behind us. And I've been in the woods. There's nothing in those woods. I've been in there daytime, nothing. And we use the singing bowls, and something comes out of the woods. And I'm not saying it's aliens. It could be interdimensional. Who knows what we're attracting? And I've got photos of, I don't know what it is. It wasn't human.
What did this being do? Did it come out of the woods, walk out, run out?
I saw it. I thought it was a ball of light sitting on the ground. Sure. So I took a picture.
Yeah.
And then when I blew it up, I go, was it a ball of light? It looked like a little alien baby. It did.
Wow.
And another time we saw, because we sit in a circle and I was facing the woods. And another time we had somebody turned two flashlights on. But they had to be big, you know, like basketball size, because we're pretty far away from the woods. And they started moving back and forth and changing places and jumping up and down to the singing bowls. And I had my FLIR, and I'm taking pictures, and I don't know why I didn't hit video as they're moving, but I just wanted to get pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I watched them for like 20 minutes. And I'm going, look, and everybody goes, eh. And they're looking up in the sky. I said, no, something's happening right here in front of us. But they, you know, just three of us watching it. And so finally the one stretched up like that little wiggly guy on the sidewalk that for advertising.
Sure, yeah.
It did that. And that's why I wish I would have been doing video. And then it went back down to the ball shape. And they back and forth a few times. And then when the singing bowls stopped, it's like somebody turned the two flashlights off. It was just gone. Now, what was that?
Underwear change time. That's what that was.
Was it just balls of light? What was it?
You know, I think one of the great misconceptions, and I'm not saying that, you know, any shade on your friends or anything, but like you said, they're all looking up at the sky. But I mean, I'm of the school of thought that that's exactly where you really don't need to be looking, because I think that they could be anywhere around here at any time.
Right. And if they're going to come, they're going to come land. So don't bother looking in the sky. They're coming down, right?
They're going to be multiple steps ahead of us anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Because another time, now here we are in the grass. There's nothing in the grass. And all of a sudden there was lights. There were lights in front of us on the grass. What was that? It's grass.
Right.
Huh. Why was the grass lighting up?
I think one of the things about that is that, you know, you can't apply, you know, rational thought to how these beings are going to interact with us. I mean, I think as soon as we do that, we've lost.
Right. So I had my tri-field meter, and it was just going crazy in the grass.
What did you have it set to, your tri-field? Do you remember?
No.
Because there's always those different sort of things that you can set it to. And I do have one, and I should employ it more. I should really do so. When you're doing your CE5, when you're in a circle, what are you all doing in the circle? Are you meditating? Are you chanting? Or is there something that you're doing?
Well, we started off doing the chanting, but then then you're supposed to just meditate, just be quiet. You know, and as long as you have the right group, sometimes they'll just invite anybody off the street and it's not a good night.
No, no.
Because they're talking, they're going, well, where is it? Is it going to come in? And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Or they're sitting there, you know, eating their chips. No, we're not here to eat.
No. Get out of here, right?
You know, like one time somebody's going, the mosquitoes are biting me. Yeah. Yeah, it's summer. Yeah,
we're outside. That's what happens outside.
You were told to bring the cutters, but you didn't.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, I mean, it's funny, and yeah, I think I'd only do that. First of all, in my mind, I would do it small, like not a lot of people, and there'd have to be people that I know and trust because. Same thing with paranormal.
When we have our regular group of like 12, it was good.
So 12 isn't too big, huh?
Any time when it got bigger and you just brought anyone in, nothing happened that night.
So 12 isn't a big number?
No.
Okay.
That's a good number.
That's a good number? Because
I think so. You could be smaller, but I mean, we have a group that is good together.
Mm-hmm. Now, are these all MUFON members when it's the 12, or is it just people that you know?
Half of them are MUFON members.
Yeah.
Not all of them, though.
Yeah. No, That's really cool, and I really need to do this. And what I would love to do is actually broadcast it. I'd love to just put it out. You know, and the thing is, it's like when we do that, I don't want people to think that it's just because we're broadcasting, it doesn't mean that we're going to get something. You know, it's that sort of thing. But
we were filming one time. You know who Ricky Butterfast is?
Yeah.
He works for SET, yeah. So he was there that night, and they had a film crew. They were going to film what happened, but you know nothing happened that night because there was a film crew there.
that's the one thing I worry about too.
Nothing happened that night.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
we did an investigation live here actually on the radio show here for Halloween over in Stillwater, Minnesota. And I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting a whole lot to happen there because that's kind of the law of average, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we ended up getting really interesting activity at the location we were at. And then Adam, who does the board here on Thursday and Fridays, he stepped in while we were away. And he brought some equipment, and he was getting activity here when somebody – at the Stillwater activity, when Char at the Stillwater activity asked for stuff to go off here, it went off. It answered.
That's the best when that happens. See, that's intelligent.
It is, and it was a really fun. And so yes, I mean, and I totally understand that there's a more than likely chance that if we're trying to reach aliens and we're doing a CE5 and we're trying to broadcast it in any form, that they're going to be well aware of it, and that they may just decide that they want nothing to do with it and not take part. And that's the thing. And maybe the first thing we do it, we just do it because we want to do it at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, they had a lot of cameras there. You know, if you're just going to do, you know, you're one, you'd be okay. But yeah, it was like they had the big setup, and I go, no, this is too much here.
Yeah. Did they do the lights as well? The big lights?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. This isn't gonna. I knew it was. I'm telling them all the cool stuff coming out of the woods, and then nothing happened. You know, but.
Well, and that's just it too. You know, it's like I don't know how well people will take if they came along and that actually something happened. And that's the thing. Careful for what you wish for, because it just might happen. And mm-hmm. if we're gonna do this, that's why we're doing it, because we want something to happen. That's the point of it.
And it has to be anything, not just a craft up in the sky. Like I said, there's things happening on the ground all around us. That one time I was sitting next to my friend in our lawn chairs, and I had my tri-field on the ground in front of me, and he had his in front of him. And we looked over, and I got a picture of it. Some kind of a hand or a claw had reached over across, and it touched my tri-field and made it go off.
Oh, goodness.
it could not have been either of our hands, you know, the way it was situated. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. How amazing is that? Once again, the book is called Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. It is available on Amazon. Please go check it out. And please support Sherilyn Carter. She is an amazing writer. We'll get you back on here soon. Okay, Cheryl? Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. And then we'll be back tomorrow with Char. Everyone, have a good evening. Take care.